So we're starting a new series here at the church, which is going to take us for the next few weeks. And we're entering into a new series, which I have entitled with one simple word, and that is seasons. And now, I don't believe that this is coincidental, because this was something that God was laying upon my heart even before we moved down here. And I got down here, and I saw that the ladies' retreat is entitled Seasons as well. So I believe that's just the working of God, bringing everybody together and moving by His Holy Spirit. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the four different seasons in light of our individual lives and the church lives. There are many lessons that we can learn from the seasons. And then over the next few weeks, you're going to hear from the other pastors in the church. We have a couple of guest speakers that are going to be coming in, and they're going to be sharing as well. But as a church, we are in the midst of a season of transition. You have just welcomed or adopted myself and my family into your church family. And if there's anyone here that is familiar with the adoption process, you know that the adoption process comes with transitions. Just a couple of weeks ago, you had the opportunity of meeting little Timothy that I met a number of years ago in Philippines. And as I thought about him as a little boy, I thought about the transitions that he went through. You know, he started out, for the first 5 months, he was being cared for by his mom, and he was being spoken to in Tagalog. Then he's brought into my life, and I'm caring for him, and I'm speaking to him in English. And then the orphanage is speaking to him in both Tagalog and English. And then when he gets matched with his forever family, they're from France, and they're speaking to him in French. So I thought, this poor little guy, in the first 3.5 years, he's had to learn 3 different languages and try and compute all of this. But I wondered, how would all of these transitions play out in his life? Will he be a child that is used to changes and struggles to actually get settled? Will he become a kid who gets set in his ways because he had to endure so many changes in his early life? It's really hard to say. But there's one thing that is true. Whether he likes it or not, and this is for us as well, there will be transitions. Some of these transitions are simply the result of being a human being. He will have no control over them. Some he'll be able to make on his own. But some is just life in general. Every person here in this room will go through transitions in their lives. Some of these transitions we welcome. Some of them we meet with our heels literally dug in the ground and we fight them tooth and nail. Has anybody ever had that situation? Just a couple. Okay, that's interesting. So as you may have picked up on it, I'm choosing to use the word transition instead of change. Why? Because a transition is a little less abrasive and easier to accommodate than a change. A change can be very abrupt. Now, I am going to do a poll, and I'm asking for your participation on this. By show of hands, how many people here like change? Wow. The numbers are actually a lot less than what I thought. I thought there'd be a lot more people who would enjoy change. And because then I was going to follow it up by this, I heard a statement one time that says this: we all like change when we're in control of the change. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. When I'm in control of the change, I love the change. You thrust a change upon me, it's going to be met with a lot of opposition. As a pastor, I know that. But change can be difficult. Hence why I like to use the word transition. As a church, we are in a season of transition. I believe that God's hand has been upon this church, and it continues to be upon this church. For the last couple of years, this church has been going through a season of transition. You had the opportunity to receive Pastor Dave's resignation, and then from there, he transitioned into becoming the interim pastor. And then you transitioned into welcoming me into the church as the new pastor. Not all churches receive this privilege, this luxury, this opportunity, however you want to call it. Usually, and you probably know this, in a job place, the person comes in, they give their notice, and what do you usually get? 2, maybe 4 weeks notice if you're lucky. You had the opportunity of having almost an entire, or actually it was more than a year, of having Pastor Dave around as they transitioned and got ready. Now the church is transitioning into welcoming me into the family. And have you ever noticed that as a family, you have a certain way of doing things? Everybody in the household understands how the other one operates. We will show grace to our family members. And when we see them do something, especially if somebody is over, we'll simply treat it and say, oh, that's just the way that they are. And we treat all of their little idiosyncrasies as perfectly normal. Have you ever done that? I was with a family just recently. And I mean, you look at how every single person operates in that family, and it's like, man, it's so neat. But and then somebody will do something a little bit quirky, and it's just like, oh, that's just the way that they are. And they just treat that as perfectly normal. But in my family, meaning the family that I was raised in, we are all very different. My siblings and I, we were all raised by the exact same parents. However, the outcomes of our lives, the paths that we have taken, the choices that we have made have all been completely different. I've met parents who have almost beat themselves up because they look at the way that they've raised their children and they're not so happy with the choices and the outcomes. But I mean, we don't, as you as parents know, we don't have any control over the choices that our children make. They all have their own personalities. You can raise 4 people with the exact same morals and teachings. However, it can be that the way that you have to speak to them will be very different. The way that you discipline will be very different. It's not just about the way that you raise them, but you must also remember that they have their own unique personality. My 2 daughters are completely different people. The way that we speak, the way that we discipline, the way that we encourage has to be completely different for each of them. And sometimes you think you raise one kid, it's like, ah, that was so easy. I got this all in the bag. I can do this 5 times again. And then the second one comes along and is like, you're nothing like the first one. And then you bring in the third one. It's like, you're all completely different. You have to do things differently. The style of communication is done different. The same can be true if you're a part of a blended family. I meet with people on a regular basis who come from blended families. Or they may have blended into another family. They may be welcoming a new partner and his children. But no matter who they are, there's going to be an adjustment. And you quickly realize that the way that things have been done have to be altered. There's some modifications that need to be made. There's going to be that season of transition. But the one thing to always remember is that transitions move us forward. Do you believe that? Transitions move us forward. We keep moving. So we're going to look at the various seasons in a year in light of our lives and how we do things. Seasons come every single year. What is one thing we do know about seasons? Do they come like clockwork? Some say yes, some say no. Well, this past March, we learned that spring arrived on March 20th at 12:15 p.m. EDT. Eastern Daylight Time? What's East EDT? Is that Halifax? So in Halifax, they got spring at 12:15. In March 2017, in the same time zone, spring arrived on Monday, March 20th, at 6:28 a.m. Yes, spring, what we know as spring equinox,
will arrive on either March 19th, 20th, or the 21st, somewhere in there. However, does what we know about spring arrive on that very day? Right? I mean, in my house this morning, don't laugh at me, but my daughter is playing Christmas music because she looked outside and she saw the weather and it's like, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas for her. But I mean, she hasn't even experienced Christmas without snow yet. But in spring, are you guaranteed that the tulips will pop through the ground at the exact same time every year? Do you go like, oh, it's March 29th. The tulips should be coming up. And yep, there they are right there. As a farmer, do you go to the out to the field and say, okay, well, it's April 29th. I better get the seed. Oh, it's April. I got to get out. Do you plant plant the seeds at the same time every year? Each season, there are changes to how we have to do things or timing on when it can be done. So this morning, we're going to start in these seasons by looking at the season of spring. And we're going to look at it today and next week. So as I was researching, I came across a few tidbits of information that I want to share with you this morning. Spring fever isn't just a saying. Experts say that the body's makeup changes due to different diets, hormone production, and temperature. So spring fever is a real thing. On the first day of spring, the sunrise and sunset are about 12 hours apart everywhere on Earth. On the Persians consider spring to be the first day of the new year, which I can understand because is there anybody else that kind of has the same thought as me that really September 1st should be the start of a new year, right? I mean, the way that we do things, everything kicks off because we operate a lot by the calendar year for the school year. So, I mean, that's when everything gets started. Everything strikes up on September 1st. According to a Facebook research, couples are most likely to break up in the spring. Oh, and 2 weeks before Christmas. Interesting. I'm not quite sure why it is that they break up in the spring. That one I'm still exploring a little bit. The 2 weeks before Christmas, okay, he doesn't want to buy her a gift, so he decides he's going to call it off. I don't know. That's the only logic I can come with. While December is the most popular time to get engaged, late spring, June, and fall, September, are the most popular months to get married. So December is the most popular for engagements and breakups. Things that make you go, But the earliest known use of the term spring cleaning was in 1857. And this morning, we're going to take a look at spring cleaning. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 51, starting to read at verse 7. It's going to be on the screen above as well. Psalms chapter 51, reading starting at verse 7. It says this, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." A willing spirit. So what that means is I am to do what God is asking. Do we have a willing spirit? Father, this morning as we go into your word, as we unpack this morning, maybe there are individuals this morning that need to do a little spring cleaning in their own lives. I pray that our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears would be open to what you want to say to us this morning, and that we would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we're going to look at the freshness that spring brings into our lives. How many of you love the feeling of spring cleaning? You don't maybe don't like the work that goes with it, but you like the feeling of spring cleaning. See, I'll get more response that way. Yeah, Josiah's on board with me on that one. Yeah. One thing that I appreciate when I drive around the valley, and we saw this especially back in June when we were first here and then over the summer, is seeing people with clothes on a clothesline. Now, that might seem weird to you, but I love seeing that. There is nothing, in my opinion, like getting or having clean sheet day when the sheets come in off the clothesline. Anybody else with me on that one? You love crawling into bed, those sheets that have just come off the clothesline. So here's a little term that I want to share with you. As you know, I'm from Newfoundland, so I'm just going to give you a little bit of Newfie language this morning. If you ever see me and you hear me make this expression, you say, "How, you know, it's a beautiful day today," and I respond with, "Someday for clothes." If I say that to you, what that means is that it's a day where the sun is shining and there's a gentle breeze in the air, so it's a great day to have your clothes out on a clothesline. Growing up, when you would see people, you say, "Man, some nice today, what?" And they say, "Oh, some day for clothes, what?" And in that whole sentence, you heard that it is a very beautiful day and this would be a great day to put your clothes out on the clothesline. So now if you see me, and you can even adopt it, but make sure you do the Newfie accent right if you're going to do it, because I'll call you on it. Because there's nothing worse than a fake Newfie accent, let me tell you. But someday for clothes. Now, today is not a day for clothes on the clothesline. But I'm not sure where you are at in your own personal life. But I do believe that we as a church are in a season of spring. Maybe there might be a little bit of spring cleaning that needs to take place. As I've walked around the church, I've come across things that have made me stop and wonder, why are they still hanging on to this? Has this room been overlooked for a while? Or has this just simply, this room here, this could use a little bit of attention. Now, don't worry, I'm not going in and making all sorts of changes because I know that's the way that you just get a lot of uproar going on. But those are some of the thoughts that have gone on in my brain as I've walked around this building. So how many things do we as individuals tend to hang on to that we think we will use, but we never actually use them? There's like two boxes that I have been carrying around for the last 12 years. They are sealed up. They will likely never be open. But I have to cart these two, and they're probably the heaviest boxes out of everything. And I have to take them from one house to another to go down into the furnace room or to go into a storage. And usually it's up high, so I got to lift this up. And these boxes will never be opened. Why am I hanging on to these things? Because I'm told I need to hang on to these things. I want to accidentally allow them to fall out of the back of the truck somehow, but it just hasn't happened yet. So instead, we keep carrying these boxes around. And when I'm dead and gone, I'm sure that Kelsey or Hallie will open this box and say, "That's what was in these boxes? Why did we have to carry these everywhere?" And they will be the ones that toss them into the bin. So I'm really hoping that maybe I get the privilege of tossing them into the bin and not them. But the same is true. How many thoughts do we hang on to? How many memories hold us back from what God is asking us to do? It's amazing how a thought or a memory or even seeing something, a physical thing, can trigger a thought process. How many of us this morning could do a little spring cleaning in our own lives? So as I read this passage, there were three things, three actions is what I'm calling them, that I believe that God is asking of us. So the first action is this: God, soak me. In this passage, David is asking God to create in him a clean heart. God, put a right spirit in me. He's looking and he's reflecting on the things that he has done, the choices that he has made, the sins that he's committed. And he's saying, "God, create in me a clean heart." In the springtime, as we are doing our cleaning, we tend to come across items that have been neglected all winter. At times, a season can come in so quickly that you don't even have time to brace yourself or to prepare for it. As such, you start shoving things into boxes, throwing them over here. It's like, we got to get the next season stuff out, and we start opening it. Meanwhile, these boxes have all just been shoved away. And we think, okay, once the storm ends, I'm going to pull those boxes out, and then I'm going to put it all away properly. So the storm ends. And we either forget about that item that we just tucked away, or we don't have what it takes to go back into that room and pull all of those things out. It's like, I just don't have the energy right now to do that. Spring arrives, and you go to get this item, and you realize, wow, it's been sitting like this all winter. The item is not damaged, but it is going to need some cleaning. So we pull it out, we create a solution, and we go and we soak it in that solution. The soaking might be an hour, it might be a day, it might be a week, depending on what damage is done. It is needed so that the cleaning can get deep. What item do we need to bring to God for spring cleaning? What is it that we have neglected? What is it we've neglected simply because things have erupted all of a sudden? Or everything got shoved into a box? It could be a work issue. It could be a family issue. It could be a marital issue. Something's like, yeah, I'll deal with that later. Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." What does it mean to be still? It means to let God and relax. Let God. God knows exactly what needs to happen. We can trust in Him. We give it to Him, and once we give it to Him, we don't go back and pick it up. We let it go. We leave it there. So often, we'll come and we'll place our thing down at the cross, and we'll be there and we'll be crying out to God, and we're feeling good, and our emotions get all worked up, and we're so good. Oh, yes, I'm feeling good. And then it's like, oh, yeah, that load is gone. And then what happens? We turn around and we start walking around. It's like, oh, I'm feeling really good. I'm good. I can, oh, you know what? Yeah, I can deal with this. I'll go pick it up and I'll put it back on my shoulders. And that's what we often do. We go and we lay it down and we feel good and we know that this is what God is asking us to do. And we start walking away thinking, yeah, I've got this. Oh, okay, now I'm feeling good. I can go and pick that up. No. Leave it there. Let God do what God is going to do. The reason that you're feeling so good and the reason that the burden is lifted is because that's what God is asking of us. Cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties, every single thing, cast it upon Him. Sometimes we need to turn off those outside voices and take the time to listen to God. In short, soak in His presence. What happens when we soak? The cleaning agent is able to get to the fibers and allow the cleaning process to happen. The other side of soaking is that as the fibers are cleaned of the debris, it allows space for absorbing the things of God. In the soaking process, it is just the item and the cleaning agent. That's it. Nothing else. In God's soaking process, it's you and Him. That's it. As we soak, we are positioning ourselves to hear from God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. As we soak, we are putting ourselves in a position to receive and to hear from God. He will give us those visions. He will give us those dreams. He will give us everything and an understanding of what it means to be in His presence. For many, when we hear the term soaking, we may think of endless hours in a bathtub. Now that, to me, sounds like a miserable type of night. To go and sit in a tub and soak in all of the dirt and skin that's just come off of my body. Okay, that's how I look at it. Sorry, that's not how you look at it. You know, it's all those bubbles and the candles and whatever. But that's not my idea of a relaxing time. What is your form of soaking? For me, I haven't gotten here yet, but this is what I'm envisioning. So just picture this for me, because I got other things that I got to work on. But I'm dreaming of the day when I will own my own paddleboard, and I can go down to the spit, and I can jump on that paddleboard, and I can just go out and paddle and soak in God's presence. That's my way of soaking. For you, it might be to go and jump in your kayak. It might be to go for a run. It might be to take the bubble bath. It might be to go to a coffee shop and just sit there and just be quiet with your thoughts, just you and God. Find your activity of choice for simply soaking where it's just you and God. Nobody else, just you and God. The second action is, God, scrub me. So we've gone through the soaking process. As we all know, the soaking process doesn't always remove all of the grime, correct? Sometimes you need to get in there and just manipulate the fibers just a little bit to get it to release and to be gone. David asked that God would purge him with hyssop so that he shall be clean. Now, what exactly is this hyssop that David is talking about? Today, we have products such as Mr. Clean, Pine Sol, Norwex, everything. You walk into a grocery store and there's a whole aisle dedicated to cleaning supplies. Back in the day, all they had was hyssop. And hyssop came from, it was from the mint family. And it was used for cleansing, for medicinal, and for flavoring properties. In a way, it almost sounds like the lemon of today, right? We clean with lemon, we put lemon in things, it flavors, it does also, it even has some medicinal things. When David is asking to purge him with hyssop so that he can be clean, he's saying, God, as I sit here soaking in your presence and confess all of my sins to you, I'm asking that you do a spiritual cleansing in me. As we sit in God's presence, he reveals to us the things that need to be cleaned up. As you sit with God, you have the confidence of knowing that he is going to look after the cleaning process. And if you've ever had to scrub something, you know that it can be a rigorous process depending on the stain. And there are even times when the stain isn't completely removed. That doesn't mean that the area isn't clean or cannot be used. What that does is it serves to you as a reminder of God's grace and God's healing. Sometimes when we look at the scars on our body or the stains in a rug, it takes us back, it reminds us of our own lives and what God has done. We have a past. We have done things there. But by God's grace, we have been set free from those things so that we can go in the direction that God is calling us. How do we look at the scars? What do you see when you look at the stain? It's so easy to go and point out all of the imperfections and the flaws. In our last home, we developed a basement. And there's a few areas where I know that I messed up when I was doing it. And what I started doing is that every time somebody would come down to look at the basement and see the work that was done, they'd be coming down and say, oh, I love what you've done with the space. I love how you did this, blah, blah, blah. What did I do? Yeah, you see this spot right here? See where I messed up? You see this over here? I started pointing out all of the flaws of the basement. I robbed myself of those compliments. And so often we do the same thing. When somebody comes along and says, oh, I see what God is doing in your life, and I see how he has delivered you and how he has set you free. Yeah, but I'm still wrestling every day, and I know that it's going to be like we're like an Eeyore, right? That's the only way to describe it. Yeah, but I still have a long way to go. Sometimes we just need to take that. It's like, yes, you're right. You know, it only takes one negative thing to rob yourself of 10 attaboys. Somebody can come along and give you 10 compliments. Somebody else comes along and points out that one thing that you didn't do. And all of a sudden, all those compliments that you received are gone. And you focus on that negative thing that was just heard. When God looks down at us, He doesn't point out all of the mistakes, all of the past hurts, all of the choices that we've made. He says, that's my son. That's my daughter. Look at the work that I'm doing in him or her. He doesn't look down and say, well, would you look at that one? Man, they were one hot mess before I got a hold of them. He doesn't look at us that way. He looks at us with love, with grace, with compassion. He sees the transformation. He sees the work that he's doing in his creation, and he says, that's my masterpiece right there. When God cleans us up, he makes us whiter than snow. And the third action is this: God, shape me. We have a bit of a rule in our house when it comes to laundry. It's very simple. Chad does not do laundry. That's not because of any sort of a gender thing, or, you know, that's a woman's job or a man's job or anything like that. It's simply that I have a philosophy. If it can go into the washer, it can go into the dryer, right? So I go into the laundry room and I see that the washing machine is filled or is done its cycle. I'm going to help out and I'll take everything out of the washing machine and I'll toss it into the dryer and I'll turn it on. And then about 2 hours later, from the basement or wherever the washing machine is, I hear, Chad! What? Did you do laundry? Yeah, I was trying to help you out. Yeah, I didn't help out. I've had to replace a few garments over the years. You know, things that I've tossed into the laundry room. My daughters have screamed out. So the only things that I'm permitted to put into the washing machine or the dryer are my own clothes and towels. You can't mess up on towels. But I'm slowly starting to realize, even with my own clothes, that not all of them can go into the dryer. So, as you are probably all aware, as you throw it in, it quickly loses its shape. I've taken shirts out of the dryer and realized that they are no longer fitting right. Now, this could be a result of me putting them into the dryer or a result of what I'm putting into my mouth. Either way, the shirt is not fitting the way that I remember. Then I work to reshape this shirt. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this. Take a t-shirt and you go to put it on and you kind of do a, like to just stretch it out so it's a little bit looser around here, and then you pull it over the head. I don't mind if this area is a little bit more tight, but this area is like, no, can you just kind of keep that hidden? I need that stretched out just a little bit. But in the spring cleaning process, that can happen as well. Often as a season is ending or ends really quickly, things get tossed about. In the spring, when you decide to go and clean, you look in your storage area and you realize that you could get a lot more use of this space had you just shaped it and put it back the way that it should be. Sometimes it just takes a little processing and strategizing in advance to figure out how this is going to happen. I just need to get into that room and just shape it, and I can get so much more. There's so much more space in there that we can work in. As we take the time to soak in God's presence and then let Him scrub down the walls of our hearts, you will realize that you too have so much more available space for Him to work in you. Take this time to allow God to shape you to be the person that He wants you to be. In this whole journey that we as a family are on, I don't think that anything has gone the way that we had suspected. When we look at everything from the move to the house to anything, everything has been done perfectly and it's been done by God. Because what we visioned, not one of it. I can honestly say I don't think there's one thing that has actually, we were right on that one. No, it's pretty much been God's been right on every single one. God has been shaping me to learn how to be, how to just simply be in His presence. These things do not happen overnight. They require continuous training. I was reflecting on my journal just a couple weeks ago, And I read this journal entry from May 17th, 2016. And I was having one of my chats with God. And I wrote the question, how do I just be in your presence? Because that's not me, right? I need to do something. I can't just be in your presence. But that's something that God has been working on in me. And I mean, that was over 2 years ago that I wrote that down. And I'm still learning how to just be in his presence. But it involves taking the time to talk things out with God. Listening to him. Getting alone with him. Drowning out the noise. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Are we prepared to let God do a little spring cleaning in our hearts? Have you allowed your heart to become so cluttered that you have no space for him? So in this season of spring, what space have you created for God? What have you said, God, this is important. I need to give this time to you. At times, we create such a busy schedule for our children that neither they or us have time to just be. It's okay to not be involved in every single sport. It's okay to not attend every event at your church. The question is, are you creating space for you and God? I just want to share this story with you in closing because this really resonated with me as I was putting this together. Kyle and I have watched as our best friends chose sports over church. And what I mean by church is the assembling together of the body of believers to be edified, to be spurred on. They could not see it at the time, but slowly, every one of their Saturdays and Sundays were consumed. The message that they were portraying to their children was, it's okay to sacrifice the assembling together of the body of believers for the love of the sport. And then 2 years later, because their lives had become so congested with sports and getting their kids to all of the different activities, their relationship with God started to deteriorate. Their children didn't even want to go to church. It's like, well, this hasn't been important for the last 2 years because we've always gone to our sports. We haven't gone to church. And now you want us to go to church? No, I'd rather go to my sports. Their marriage deteriorated. Today, unfortunately, they're divorced, they're not serving God, and their family is completely split up in other parts of the country. What example are we setting for those around us? We claim to be a Christian. We claim to be followers of Christ. Does our life show that? When people look at you, and I've been really challenged by this over the last couple of weeks. When people look at us and they see the way that you act and they hear the term Christian, do they want to come to where you are or do they want to get as far away from you as possible? That's the question that I've been wrestling with. You may not be wrestling with that, but I would encourage you, take the time. Do I draw people to Jesus or do I drive people away from Jesus? What does my life say about me? Is it time to get alone and have a little soaking time with God? Ask God what areas of your life need to be scrubbed. And then ask God to shape you to be the person, the family, the friend, the husband, the wife, the child that he's calling you to be. Spring is an opportunity to look back over the past year. Remember the harvest that you reaped back in August. And then decide the course of action for the coming year. Remember, transitions, as hard as they are at times, transitions move us forward. forward. The seasons are going to change. Whether you like it or not, they're going to change. Will you be ready for what the season will bring? What transition is God preparing you for in order that you move forward? I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I want to pray over you, and then I'm going to dismiss you. But as always, these altars are open. If you want prayer, we are here and we want to pray with you. I know we took time earlier in the service, but maybe God has been speaking into your heart and saying, you know what? I need somebody to partner with me, and I need somebody to believe for this change, this spring cleaning that needs to take place. And if that's you, feel free to come. In the name of Jesus, I know that you have been speaking into the hearts of every single person in this place. Sometimes we don't realize that it's your voice that's speaking. Sometimes our lives are so cluttered and so busy that we can't actually hear what you're saying to us. But God, I pray that we would take the time to declutter our lives so that we can hear from you. Provide that opportunity to soak in your presence. And sometimes we just need to take the opportunity and just lay everything down and say, I'm going to do it before it's too late. So God, have your way in every single person in this place. I pray that your blessing would be poured out upon them. I pray that you would be with them, that you would guide them, that you would protect them. Give them the wisdom that they need. And as we go from this place today, I ask that your Holy Spirit would go with us. Help us to see through the eyes of Christ when we're speaking to our neighbor, our colleague, our family. Do they hear Christ in me? We thank you for what you have been doing. We thank you for the work that you will continue to do. We ask this in your name. Amen.